morning, everyone.
Morning, Mayor.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. You have an agenda that's been circulated. I have two or three things on it. First of all, I'd like to take off item 11, the financial statement, and defer that to the next meeting. The Director of Finance is off today and she's on funeral leave. I'd like to add item 16, report from the nominating committee. Are there any other additions, deletions, changes to the agenda that people would like to see? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Moved by Councillor Inglis, seconded by Councillor Waterman. All in favour? It's unanimous and thank you. The first item on the agenda is a report from the RCMP, and I'd ask Corporal Merrill to come forward.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and councilors.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Short and sweet this morning. On December 3rd, there is a 911 report of a multi-vehicle collision on Highway 103 in Brooklyn. Immediate patrols were made and noted tractor-trailer was engulfed in flames. One was confirmed deceased at the scene and others were transported to the hospital with varying injuries, and the investigation is ongoing. On December 15th, we responded to a disturbance in Charleston. A 19-year-old female was found in breach of a court order. She was arrested as facing charges for the breach and possession of weapons dangerous to the public peace. On December 16th, members responded to an overturned tractor trailer. Driver was taken to the South Shore Regional Hospital with minor injuries, and the cause of that was deemed to be a tractor trailer wheels caught on the edge of a pavement. And on December 19th, a 23-year-old male was pulled over driving erratically. Grounds were formulated to read the breath demand. Search of the vehicle located an unsecured loaded firearm. Driver is charged for impaired driving and numerous firearm charges. And that's the excitement for December.
Other questions, Corporal Merrill? Deputy Mayor.
I see we'll soon be getting a new district commander, so they thought he or she would be named in January, but I'm assuming hopefully.
Not named yet.
But we'll know when it's happening.
Yeah, we're all anxiously awaiting. We
and
don't know either.
Do you notify CKBW and our other local QCCR and when you're notified of that?
I can make a note that we can do that.
I'm wondering if we did that or no.
Did we do that?
The RCMP normally looks after themselves. I think it's fine. Councillor Inglis.
Just wanted to acknowledge the last report from the senior safety officer. Linda Winslow is retired, and she did a much more work than she was paid for. I think for
12 years.
12 years. So we're glad to.
I have a note on my copy, so I'm glad you raised it, Councillor. I think that a motion from council to send her a letter of thanks would be in order.
Great idea. Thank
Are you moving there?
Yes. Can I do it right
here?
You're
supposed to have written motions, direction to them, to us. Yeah. And
so congratulations.
Direction to the matter. We'll do that. So all in favor? It's unanimous. Okay, thank you. The other thing that came out of the, sorry, Councillor Frelick.
No, go ahead.
I was thinking about both Linda and Kim. I wonder if it would be of interest to invite Kim sometime to come to council to speak on the role of that position, because we see the report, and so maybe we can ask her to come and give us a report sometime.
Absolutely.
Great idea.
Yes, Brian.
I see that we're still... for littering, we're still at zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really like to, the next report or the one following, talk about or find out how we're going to proceed with this, because we can't go another year without addressing this issue.
Mm-hmm.
We get complaints all the time. Susan does a lot of work on it, mm-hmm. and it really starts with the RCMP and the ability to lay charges, because you know, it's mind-boggling that there's been no charges at all, and that goes back many years. And yet, it still remains one of our biggest problems in Queens County as far as littering. So,
well,
I would, and we're
yeah.
willing to work with you on it,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be something that has to be something tangible that mm-hmm. that we're able to do to
yeah.
move forward.
And I guess the issue is always, if we don't see it ourselves,
right.
we can't lay a charge. If no one reports to us, which no one has reported to us,
yeah.
and is willing to step forward and give us a statement, we can't lay a
but
charge.
Clearly, that's not working. So there has to be another plan in place. Because they must be doing it in other communities where they are catching people. For me, I think that it would be easy to catch somebody sitting in the parking lot that biffs out the garbage all the time. So I just think that if we work together on it, it would be a lot easier. So
all right, we'll pass that on.
Thank you.
My group, in cooperation with the Resource Recovery Fund Board and District 6 Waste Management, we're trying to now develop a different type of awareness campaign, something that's really going to be a grabber. And I know you, if there's no charges against anyone, that's almost an example set and kind of scares people for a short period of time and doesn't always work. But we're working on an awareness campaign in the next several months, hoping to get the cooperation of food outlets, the RCMP, and I know the region have always placed ads in the paper and done some publicity in that respect for awareness of the effects of littering, but we're working on that as well, so we will be in contact with your department on that.
Yes. Well, believe me, littering's high up on my list of things I hate, so if I see somebody, they get a ticket.
Yeah.
There's no no quibbling over it.
Councilor Fancy.
Yes, I'd asked this before, and I don't know if it's a possibility or not, but is it possible to do things like it's so hard to catch people littering, because when it happens, it's instantaneous. You either got to do it or not, and did it come out of this car, or did it, you know, it's so many things, and there's so many variables. But is it possible to be able, because our fines are, what, around $425, something like that for a littering?
Yeah, I couldn't say off the top of my head, but most of them run
but
around
if
that
you,
much.
Could it be offered as... Is say if somebody reported something and someone was convicted that they could be money given, or is that not right? I mean, like say if you said give even $100 to somebody who would report somebody and they were convicted, that makes people then become your own keepers.
Yeah, the only program through that would be Crime Stoppers, I believe.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Okay, Council Waterman?
I have an issue there in Caledonia, Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
where the post office is right now. There's a crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but people park right up to it and sometimes cross it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a safety issue there. And a lot of people see that. Probably if... You know, if you give them some warnings, maybe the word will get around. The warnings would probably work at first. I'm not talking about having a job at all. But it really, it should be corrected.
Okay, are there any other questions, Corporal Merrill? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is a presentation by QCCR FM by Mr. McLaren, and I see on the agenda it's Heather Kelly, but I think it's Dick Hennebrink.
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Sing a few bears, Dick. We'll tell if it's really you.
A few bears.
I was told I wasn't allowed to sing this morning.
I also told him that we... I'm preparing to speak to the South Queens Chamber of Commerce on Thursday morning, and I've been told firmly by staff that it takes 3 minutes per slide, and we have the slides in the agenda here, so
it's 40.
We've discussed 40 times three, and Dan and Dick have assured me that they'll stick to the time about 20 minutes. Thank you very much.
I got one for you too.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I'm Dan McLaren. I'm the chair of the board of the CJQC Radio Society. I'm also the manager of QCCR Radio, and I'm also one of the program hosts on the air. Dick Henneberry is with me. He's also a member of the CJQC Radio Society board. He's the sales manager at QCCR. He's the program director at QCCR, and he's also an on-air host as well. So you could say the people at QCCR all wear many hats. We're here today to make this presentation, and at the end of this, we hope that you'll know what we are, what we do, and where we fit into the future of Queens County. I thank you for inviting us today, and as the mayor said, we'll probably not take any more than at least the next 3 hours, so sit back and relax.
The mandate of the station is to, I can't say it any better than it's written here, so I'm just going to read it off. The mandate of the station is to be the voice for all the residents of Queens County, facilitating communication among members of the community by fostering diversity in the broadcasting of opinions, spoken word, content, and musical programming. By involving community members, the station works to provide programming that is rich in local information and reflection, local being the primary word. And we're here today, actually, because we, after 8 years, it'll be 8 years in June, we need to raise our profile in the community. I mean, this is the first time we've made a presentation to council, which on our part is very lax. But we're here today. Was it me again, Dan?
Yeah, you again. Positive presentation.
We are QCCR, 99.3 on the FM dial. Officially known as CJQC Radio Society, we are a not-for-profit 50-watt radio station from Liverpool, Nova Scotia. 24/7, 365 days, 2008. We play our new format as of January. The daytime programming is oldies. Late 50s, 60s, 70s, and some 80s. And we are mandated by the CRTC for what we can and cannot do, and we'd like to be known as the voice of Queens County.
In 2008, the people that you see here on the board went to the public, put some money together, and we purchased the radio station's assets from the former owner, Alex J. Walling, who's now living in Halifax. You can see there's just a couple of pictures of people that are on the air. And without our volunteers, QCCR could not continue to exist. There's people here in the room today who are volunteers at the station, Councillor McLeod, Norma Miro, Brian Godfrey, great volunteers. Brian Councillor Fralick comes in and does shows. It's great to have as many volunteers as we can because we need them. And we also have a lot of volunteers from the local community that come in, either do shows, help out in the background, or just do one-offs. And without that, we've recently, if you listen to QCCR, you found that we have a new program host. He comes on at 5 o'clock at night. He's a bit different. He drinks a lot of beer over on my deck, and he calls me Dan the Man McClanahan, and his name is Old White Whiskers. I can't tell you who Old White Whiskers is. I'm not allowed to. It's a big secret. But
he's weird. He's weird.
We also do a lot of our mandate from the CRTC is we have to have a certain amount of spoken word. And in an 18-hour period every day, we have to have about 2.5 hours of spoken word,
which is
locally produced programming that can involve anything, any topic. And we have a lot of people that come in. Amy Wolf from Studio Southwest Yoga comes in and does a show. We've just recently had two very young people, 15 years old, come in and do a show called Perspectives. They keep Heather Kelly and I young, because there's a lot of stuff that they want to talk about on the radio that we look and go, no, we don't really think that's good. And they go, well, why not? Why can't we talk about drugs? Why can't we talk about...
pooping in the woods?
Yeah. You know, but they certainly bring Heather and I down into a way of thinking a little younger. We were very lucky to have Beth George with us for a couple of years. She's now moved out west with her husband, but she did a program called Older and Wiser, which was a 12-part show that was absolutely very well taken around Queens County because it catered to the demographics here, which were the older people. Back to you.
On the weekends, we do we have imported programming, which is programs mainly for local radio stations. Treasure Island Oldies with Michael Godin. These we get free of charge, thank God, most of them. And we have the old rock and roll shows. Then we have Look for a Star, which is another one on Sunday. Lorne Thiebens from Yarmouth, he's been around many years. He does old parlor radio and Sentimental Journey at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. And these cater to, actually, for those who get the least programming, and that's the older people from the 40s and 50s. And believe it or not, he has many, many people that write him letters every week. They love that sort of programming. And then we have news every day with Ross Ingram.
Our offices and antenna transmitter are all located above the post office at Main and Market Street. We've been there since the radio station came on the air in 2008.
Big sign. You can see it. Right,
yeah,
above
you can
the
see it in the windows. We have our antenna on the roof at the post office, so we currently transmit 50 watts to the area we can get to in Queens County. Our goal is to get a lot more power and a lot more coverage, and we can only do that by getting approval of the CRTC and moving our antenna to another location. We're currently putting together an application to the CRTC to do exactly that, and we're going to be starting to fundraise in order to raise the necessary $40,000 that it's going to cost us to do that little bit of an expansion. But we have no plans to move at this point. We've got some... since we took over in 2012, through good management, we have replaced just about every piece of equipment that was in the radio station because, frankly, it was all coming to the end of its life. Computers have a shelf life, and in our business where the whole place operates on computers, it's very important that we keep them state-of-the-art, and our computer budget is probably one of the highest things that we have in the budget at QCCR. Again, that's just a picture of our main studio. And since we purchased the building, or purchased the assets, we have built a second studio. We put up some walls. We've tried to make it into a more professional place than what it was when we took over. For those of you who saw it before, you realize it was maybe not the most conducive environment to work in. We've tried very hard to support or to bring that up to date.
That's very polite.
Dick?
Oh, this is moi. Yes, Heather Kelly. She is basically our staff. She does it all, events, weather, news, technical support. Heather is learning very rapidly. When David Klein left for Alberta, is it?
I think Alberta.
Heather promptly took over, and she's doing a great job, along with many new and inventive ideas that she's come up with, and I think Dan is going to be mentioning one a little later that she just took by the horns and said, listen, you old farts, we have to do some things differently, and we're beginning to do just that.
Sure.
Oh, yes, loves to drop in and record liners. People off the street, if you listen to the radio station, you can hear that. We try to get people to come in with tours, which we have done. Verge House has visited, and community skills programs. So we have quite a few people now, especially, starting to come in and just go, oh, I didn't realize this was what you did and this is where you were and so on and so forth. And we have to do more and more and more of that, getting people to participate in the running of the radio station.
We try and do interviews with local people or people of interest to the community, and I can honestly say I was very pleased and surprised. About a year or so ago, Stuart McLean came to Liverpool, and I'm a big fan of the Vinyl Cafe. I mean, I may say the CBC may not have a lot of great programming, but the Vinyl Cafe is absolutely amazing, and I'm a great fan of Stuart McLean. I called Toronto, and I said, I want to talk to Stuart McLean, and they said, here's his home phone number, give him a call. And I did we had a great interview, and I mean, he was a really, really interesting interview, and the one thing that he said which surprised me, and it was more of a tongue-in-cheek question, was, what would you do if you weren't a CBC personality or a non-air personality? And he said, I would work for the greater good, I would become a politician. Now that just floored me. I had no response to that, but he said, I know you asked the question tongue-in-cheek, but that's an honest answer. So we've interviewed Premier Stephen McNeil, Jamie Bailey, Jimmy Snow, who's Hank Snow's son, Bobby Curtola, Charlie Pride, and it goes on and on. We've been very lucky with the interviews. And we do also public promotions for groups that need promotion, such as the VON, the Hospital Hustle, People Fighting MS, and it goes on and on again. That's what part of our community mandate is. And anybody that comes in for anything like that, there is certainly no charge from our end to do that. It's part of where we are in the community. QCCR covers the news, and as you can see from this photo, we also have a website, the Facebook page, which we promote. We covered the closure of the Trestle Trail, the African Children's Choir, the crash of the church steeple in Milton, the crematorium story, the new town hall, and again it goes on and on. We did have for a while a young lady who graduated from Nova Scotia Community College. She spent her younger years here in Liverpool. She couldn't find a job. She was working as a nanny in Ontario. She sent me a resume. And I'm reading the resume and I'm going, why would this lady be looking for a volunteer position? So I phoned her and she said, well, I can't find a job. She came down, she worked with us for 3 months. She did an excellent job. Her name is Molly Gibson Kirby. She came to me one day and said, Dan, I have a job in Thompson, Manitoba. And off she went to explore the world, and she's now at Campbell River, BC, working for a newspaper. So we like to think we helped her start her career. We also try and engage the community in any community events that are coming up. You can see we covered the opening of the town hall, Ukulele Kaylee, Privateer Days. We do a lot of work with the food bank.
Are the chickens in there for the food bank?
Yeah. I think he sold them to them. They probably wound up at the food bank.
They're alive and well.
We also work regularly with the RCMP. They come in and do a weekly community report. The Junior Curling, when it was here, we were a big part of that. We do interviews, the Santa Claus Parade. We were a big part of, I think, the past 3 years Santa Claus Parades we've been in. And we enjoy doing all of that stuff. And we like to feel that that's where we can contribute to the community. One of the things QCCR does is we have started a scholarship program because QCCR is not for profit. So some of our money every year goes up to the high school for a Liverpool Regional High School scholarship. We're one of the major sponsors of the Hank Snow Tribute. We were a big part of Nova Scotia Music Week as on-stage hosts. And we were a big part of the Junior Curling, providing daily press coverage. And we had our studios open about 16 hours a day with people coming in and out doing reports from the curling, and also we were very lucky to be able to interview most of the teams from across Canada. And one lady who was so impressed with us that her and her husband are, I don't know if they still are, but for a long time they were looking to move to Queens County because they were so impressed with what they saw when they were down here. Dick?
Oh, yeah, hosts. Of course, we have many, we have, I think, 13 or 14, actually, different hosts for different programs. We need, we always need new people coming in, but the hosts we have right now are at one of the ladies is leaving. We've already got someone else coming on. Linda
Rayfuse
is coming on at the first of the month, I think. Anyway, so this is an ongoing thing, and we just can't survive without our on-air hosts. Fundraising. Oh, my. We now do 50-50 draws. We have quiz night. We have the autumn showcases. But this is an area where we really do need to improve. We are a community-based radio station with volunteers. But fundraising, we have to get off our butts and really get busy with fundraising. I don't even like to use this term, but our future depends upon fundraising.
Since we took over, we've been fairly lucky in being able to obtain some grants from various levels of government and also from private industry. One of the things about being a community at campus radio station is we're allowed to raise money from other sources, and commercial broadcasters donate to Canadian Radio Fund of Canada, and they offer sponsorship, I guess I'll call it, of up to $3 million. They've got a big pot of money. And we've applied, last year we applied and we were accepted for a grant from them. We've just finished that up and put in the final report. We've also received a little money from the provincial government to help out on a specific, that was the Older and Wiser show. And we've also got an application in right now for a Horizon Seniors grant, which will give us another show geared to the more senior population in the community. Right now that's been put on hold with the change of the federal government because that's a federal grant. We're hoping to hear something, but we've been told don't expect a big hurry. I guess as we draw to the end, and I'm trying to stay on the time here, Some of the highlights that we've did at QCCR, one that I'm quite proud of is we went to the National Community and Campus Radio Station Convention in St. John last year. Brian Godfrey, who's here today, and myself went. And before we went, we put a, they have various awards that they give out. And we put in for an award for the Volunteer of the Year at QCCR. And I'm very happy to tell you today, we've told everybody in the past that would listen to us that we were very pleased to be the recipient of the Volunteer of the Year award that was given posthumously to Blaine Wynott, who was a huge volunteer at QCCR. And Brian made me give the acceptance speech, and probably one of the hardest speeches I ever had to give was because it just happened to be 1 year from the date that we buried Blaine. So it was a really touching evening for me. We also have a new app that we've just put together, and you can listen to QCCR on your iPhone, your Android, your Windows phone, your tablet, or anything else that you want, and you can download it all for free at the App Store or the Google Play Store. If you've got to ask somebody, you've got to ask Heather, because I have no idea how you do it. We also have a website at the station. One of the biggest things that we get comments on is we have a webcam. And our webcam looks out onto Main Street, and we get email from all over the world from people that have one time either lived here or visited here and it says it gives us a feeling of being home when we look at the webcam. We have also used the webcam to look at what's going on around town, snowstorms, things like that. Bit of news, the day the fellow a few years ago drove through the window of the Bank of Nova Scotia, we just happened to be in the radio studio at the time, and we were able to have that on the air within like 20 seconds. It was very, not a funny story, because the chap, I believe, had a heart attack when he drove through the window, but we were able to do that. And since we started this webcam in 2013, we have had 259,041 hits as of yesterday of people looking at our webcam and our website. So we're very proud of that. And I'm going to wrap it up here with, it's called Challenges and Opportunities. We're going to ask you, the members of council and the region, to assist us to grow. Assist us by going to your people and asking them to play the radio station in your locations. It's very frustrating to walk into public places and hear CKBW on the air. It's like, well, who are we?
Nothing wrong with kids. With the.
We're also going to ask the region to help us with the resources that you may have to help us with fundraising ideas at places we could possibly go, because we're frankly, we've looked through and we're running out of places to look, and I'm sure you folks would have many more places that we could try. Our focus is on growth. We want to be a part of this community. We have been a part of it for just about 6 years now, since AJ Wallach started the station. I'm very proud to have been a part of it from the day we took over. Dick, Malcolm Charlton, the people that came with me, I can do nothing but thank them, because when Alex Wallach walked into the radio station one day and we were sitting around just talking as we do much of the time, and he said, "I'm going to sell this place." For those of you who know me, you know I was retired. We moved here. I was more or less quite happily retired. And my wife, I think, is forgiving me by now, but I said, "Alex, don't do anything for 30 days. I might buy the place." I went home and told my wife that. I'm not going to tell you what she said. She's not polite. But that's not the first time I've done that to my wife. Anyway, thank you very much for your time. If anybody has any questions, Mr. Mayor, thank you for having us. And if anybody has any questions, Dick and I will both be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dick. Questions? Comments? Councilor Waterman.
I know it's you have regulations, but to expand, it's pretty hard to do. To expand your...
range?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is difficult.
Yes,
it's expensive. We would love to be able to get to Caledonia. CKBW has 10,000 watts, 10,000 watts on Great Hill. They couldn't get to Caledonia with 10,000 watts. They had to actually build a satellite for out there. So it's just very difficult to get there. Now, there is new equipment, digital equipment coming online, which is in the very near future. Again, you have to get permission from CRTC to do anything. But there are some new technologies where you don't have to physically go into areas. But again, that's for the near future, and our future really is now, we have to think about. But our mandate is to do Queens County, but it's very, very difficult, especially when you're, and I don't mean to refer to Liverpool as such, but it is, from a radio point of view, it's in a rabbit burrow. We're in a hole.
Yeah.
FM signal does not like to do anything but go straight. So it puts us at a disadvantage. We have to get out of the hole.
Councilor Prudick.
Two things. The first one is that moving forward in the way that you talk about the future is online. there are millions of radio stations, and I don't own a radio anymore because I listen to it online. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what you're doing to kind of move that forward with your online presence, because that is the way of the future.
Want to answer that?
Well, our first step was to get a website and to stream, which we use a company called Streaming Plus to stream the station 24 hours a day. We also developed the app so that people can use it on their different phones, because that is really the future of communication. I mean, you don't see a kid over 10 years old that doesn't have a cell phone. We try and promote that wherever we go to speak, wherever, being a community and campus radio station or a community radio station, I'm asked to come to a lot of church groups and tell them who we are, what we do, and stuff like that. And we're always promoting the online, listen to QCCR. You can listen to QCCR anywhere in the world by turning on your computer, and most people have computers. So.
Strangely enough, Brian, we get more emails, even the odd telephone call, for people who are listening to us online or streaming or what have you. Why? Most of them are coming from the US of A. I don't know why, but that's where we're getting. But I listen to QCCR on my iPad. I it has a good sound. It's there all the time. You can get it anywhere. Uses very little data. The radio, something about the radio frequency that David Klein told me, I'm being a parrot, I have no idea how it works. But he says it draws very little power. You don't use a lot of data. So you can go to Halifax, let's do it back. And so this seems to be the growth, but we have to get it out there. Our app has been downloaded the last time I checked. And, of course, advertising is only basically local. It's going on for 300 downloads. So it's getting there. And, I mean, it all takes time.
Sorry, the second part of that was we really miss Norm's show that was on every day. I'll just let you know that.
How far out does
good
radio station expand?
Right now we are in the area. Beach, basically you could say Beach Meadows to the east. Out around right where we stand now to the west, north into about halfway up the town of Milton, and down around Western Head. Now in your car you can get it a lot further out because car radios have a much more sensitive receivers in them. I can get it my car radio down past Danesville, out to Port Mattoon Road, the extension of Port Mattoon Road, where my daughter lives, well up north of Milton. But our future has to be able to get more power in a better location.
Last question, Councilor.
Just two quick things. A, you didn't tell us what Heather's new plan was. And B, I noticed people do like local news. The other night, I think 150 or 165 people showed up in support of the Syrian refugee fundraiser at $65 a pop. But yet I haven't heard a lot on QCCR about our Syrian family, has there been a new show on, or do you plan to do an ongoing? Is that going to become a
2016 at the top of my list for, but of course there's about five of them that are up there, is a news department. We do not have an official news department, so we don't have somebody that goes out and gets these, because everyone at QCCR has five different jobs, and you just... There's only just so much that we can do, and I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
But
that's
if someone from the Syrian Refugee Committee wanted to become a host and for 2016.
We would welcome them to talk to us. Sorry, darling, you're quite right. I forgot to tell you, very important. QCCR, in conjunction and in partnership with the region, is hosting what has been called Vibe Talks. It's going to be on Wednesday, February the 3rd. It's going to be at the Town Hall and Cultural Center. And it's going to have six presentations that night of various... I know Richard is going to be there to talk to people from QCCR's perspective. Vita Moses is going to represent us. The Queens Aquatic Society are going to be there. There's going to be six presentations, and we're looking forward to a. For what I'm going to call, and what I got used to, was it's called an elevator pitch. You get on the elevator on the ground floor, and by the time you get to the wherever you're getting off, you have to convince those people that they want you. And that's what it's all about. We invite everybody to come out. There's no charge other than if you wish to have a drink, there will be a bar open, and it's a cash bar that evening. So we're very, very excited to be working with the region on that evening, and we're hoping that's going to be the first of many evenings of that type. So we're trying this, and if it works, I guarantee you there will be lots more, and there will be lots of other invitees to make their presentations. And once again, Mr. Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is an initiative of Heather Kelly too, and she's at QCC to help us, give us new ideas, take us in a different direction, and I just want to thank Heather for that. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. And I will take a page from that book when I do my presentation to the Chamber of Commerce and take about as long as they did on each slide, so we'll do that one quickly. Did a great job. Are there any petitions to be tabled? Being that, not hearing anything, I'm on item 5. Is there any member from the public who would like to address council? You know the rules, Mr. Robinson?
Mayor Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. Reading in the local press yesterday, the announcement that there's a local company that's signed a lease with Port Mercy to build modular homes, which will bring more people into the area and work-wise and so on. And I just wanted to mention that it's good to see that. And I think the 2 weeks ago when you had your meeting, it was announced there with respect to demolition and so on that's going to be going on there. So it seems like each company there's something that's good to report there with Port Mercy. Going on just a bit further, a couple other quick items here. The strategic review for Queens Place Amera Center, I noticed there in the information that's been provided by your general manager, Mr. Burns, that the proposal is to do a strategic review, and also that strategic review will involve the public, some public input, and it'll be looking at such things as governance of the building and so on, the facility, looking at staffing costs and utility costs and maintenance costs, which have apparently have exceeded what was originally projected, I guess, when the building was built. So it's good to see that there's going to be a review there, and hopefully we can come up with the information and perhaps reduce the costs there a bit. Easier on the taxpayer. And the last item I wanted to mention was the community pool proposal update. I read it in detail there, and my only comment is there when it was presented at the previous meeting, or back in December, whatever it was, they were talking, the society was talking, a $2 million pool, and I understand that the council has gone out and hired an architect and come up with a comparison with a conventional build versus the air-supported structure. The cost for the air-supported structure here is $4.7 million, roughly. They were talking $2 million. There's quite a difference there. And also, if you look at the conventional build, it's $1 million more, but the bottom line is, if you look at the bottom line, it would be more feasible or cost-effective to do a conventional build rather than the air structure, and also, fit in much more nicely with the building that's there now rather than have the air supported structure. So I guess it's since the last meeting that the council has gone over and hired the Architect 49, I believe, was to do this comparison.
We indicated, I think, when the Aquatic Society was here that we would certainly be looking at their numbers. We felt we needed professional help. We got that. We had a very good meeting with the Aquatic Society. We're going to be discussing it under item 14.2 on the agenda, but I can tell you in a nutshell, it was a very productive meeting. The ball now is with the Aquatic Society. They're taking the full report. They're analyzing it. They're going to come back to us for further discussions.
I guess my last quick question would be, it seems to be when they were coming out, their architect came up with a $2 million figure, and this one is over twice as much. So perhaps that'll come out in your presentation later today.
We're not doing a presentation. You really have the information in the package. The main difference, I think, is that they had overlooked some support buildings that were that are necessary in either, well, particularly in the dome situation. But it is explained in the report why the difference kind of thing. If you take the Aquatic Society's numbers from, what was it, about a month ago, a month and a half ago, and compare them, you can pick up the differences.
Interesting, the architect that they had hired hadn't noticed those things.
I don't think they had hired an architect. I think they had done it internally with some help.
Oh, is that right?
I think so. The yes, there were.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else? Mr. Dagley.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane, Liverpool. I have a couple items today. In the last week's issue of the Liverpool Advance, the Region of Queens posted an advertisement for a job for a manager of finance, and I'm wondering, is this a new position created, or is this a job replacement for an existing employee?
There is a pending retirement in the finance department, and it's in anticipation of that. There is some sick leave. We have had to move the finance issue off the agenda today because the director of finance is on funeral leave. We are weak in that department. It needs strengthening, and this is a step towards strengthening it. The end result is that we will not be increasing staff. There may be a slight blip, but in the long run, staff will not increase. Right on that?
That's a personnel matter.
Yeah.
So, okay, it's a personnel matter, but there you are. It's the public.
And I appreciate
the public
that
has a right to know, personnel or not, whether or not we're increasing staff, and that's.
And certainly the update's very appreciated. The other issue, and I'm certain everyone in Queens County is very supportive of the Trestle Trail Bridge and the recreational activity and other issues it provides to residents and visitors. After the Trestle Trail Bridge was closed in December of 2014, it was estimated that repairs may approach $1 million. And certainly one can only speculate that demolition, if required, would also be very expensive. And these are prices that we do not have accurate data on. The region will certainly need to take action in one direction or another. That's known. And of course, the least burden to taxpayers would be to have federal provincial support do any activity and action on the Trestle Trail Bridge. That normally is easier for taxpayers to do on a yearly basis through a reserve fund, and I'm wondering if the Region of Queens has set money aside in 2015-16 budget for a reserve for work on the Trestle Trail Bridge.
Categorically, I can answer that. No, we have not.
Okay. And as a follow-up, is it the region's intention in the 2016-17 budget upcoming to consider doing that reserve in the upcoming budget?
It's hard to say. We haven't started those budget deliberations, but it's something that we would discuss when, you know, when we come to that point in our mandate.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to address council on any matter?
Yes, Mayor Clarkville Council, 121 Bob Road, White Point. I'd like to make a couple of brief comments in regard to item 14.2, the strategic review of the Queens Place Memorial Center. Having served on a committee as to the possible utilizations of the new facility back in the planning stages, I'm concerned as to the utilization that's being undertaken in regard to the lobby of the facility. at that time over 100 items were put forward that lobby could be utilized for. Right now, from my visitation to the facility, it's an expensive living room where people just sit around and chat and catch their breath or wait for whatever's going to take place. I have thought about it and talked with different people, and they say, oh, but you can't. Oh, but we can't. I think that it's reached the point where we're now in the fifth year that we start seeing what we can do to get further utilization. Right now we're paying for heat and lights and staff and cleaning of that area, and there's very little return coming back from it except for concessions during major events. And I think that if we let people know that that is available, we're not going to make a fortune, but I think that we can, if something is happening there. I was thinking back to the report that was presented. There were things there like Highland dancing and cheerleading and various things. These youth groups don't have a whole lot of money, but as for most youth groups, the parents that accompany them do have a little bit of loose change in their pocket and are quite conducive to having a cup of coffee, buying a bottle of water, maybe you can purchase a bag of chips from a vending machine or something like this to provide them with a little snack to tide them over, and this gives us a little revenue. And while it is not a whole lot, it's more than what we're getting at the present time by just simply using it as a living room. The other thing is that that space was designed so that portions of it could be blocked off with dividers and so forth, so that if there are some items going on that would require more than one space, they're not going to interfere with one another. And I suggest that during this strategic review that we look very carefully to further utilization of that lobby area. And I think that there may be a possibility of some vendors that might be interested in establishing a small kiosk or something there that could produce some revenue. Again, it's been suggested that if we start establishing commercial outlets in Queens Place, we may be taking from our downtown businesses who are already under pressure. But from my training and background, it never hurts to have a little competition. And sometimes it makes the other person more alert in their promotion if they know that there's somebody down the road that's offering similar products. We're losing our shoe store, the last time I heard, and certainly if we could provide things like sharpening stones for their skates and skate laces and replacements for the ankle guards and this sort of thing that just happened at the spur of the moment, and rather than have to somebody get in the car to proceed downtown, if we had those available on location. And some of this could be handled by our Queens Place staff in the beginning to establish whether or not there is a market. So with those things in mind, I'm not going to go through the whole review. It is quite well explained, but I would ask that during this review that some of these things be taken into consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. The matter will be debated in 14-2 on the agenda, but without wishing to get ahead of the game, you'll see that staff, and maybe you haven't had a chance to read it, but staff is recommending a process whereby we will invite the public, have public meetings, get input. I'd recommend strongly, Mr. Cox, you make a point of attending and give some input to those meetings, because we want a lot of people to come in, tell us, give us their ideas, so we can winnow down and see how we can improve the operation. Is there anybody else who would like to address council? Going, gone. Okay. And now on item 6 on the agenda, and I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular council meeting of January the 12th. Councillor Prelick, Councillor Fisk seconding. Discussion, all in favor, it's unanimous. Item 6.2, public hearing rezoning, 205 Waterloo Street, Liverpool, January the 12th, to approve those minutes. Councillor Deputy Mayor Norman, seconded by Councillor Fisk. Discussion, all in favor, it's unanimous. And I make a motion to approve the minutes of the public hearing rezoning of Milford Street in Milton on January the 12th, 2016. Councillor Fancy, seconded by Councillor McLeod. Discussion, all in favor. It's unanimous. Thank you. That brings us to item 7 on the agenda, dangerous and unsightly premises. And I'd ask...
I would do that in my district. I so recommend that the Region Queens Council declare that the property located at 379 Old Fort Mattoon Road, White Point, Queens County, Nova Scotia, is dangerous and unsightly, as defined in the Municipal Government Act as follows. And that the Region Queens cause an order to be served upon the owner of the property located at 379 Old Fort Mattoon Road, White Point, Queens County, Nova Scotia, requiring that 1. Within 14 days of the day of the service of the order, the following work be carried out. A. Demolish and replace rear deck doorstep to meet with Nova Scotia Building Code standards through formal building permits. And B. Existing wheelchair ramp to be repaired and built to Nova Scotia Building Code standards through formal building permits. 2. And within 30 days of the date of the service of the order, the following work be carried out. A. Full cleanup of all solid waste, C&D materials, electronic waste, appliances, and furniture. B. Upgrade slash removal of derelict vehicles. C. Full demolition of existing outbuilding, including source separation of debris material and proper disposal of at and proper disposal at LQM landfill. And D. Full cleanup of property. And that if the owner fails to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out and all expenses incurred by the Region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owner.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councilor Prelick seconding. Are you, Special Bylaw Enforcement Officer Hurley, are you doing the report or is Bill?
I am.
Okay. Yours.
At the end, if there are any questions for our fire and building inspector, Mr. Bill Layton, be free. 379 Old Port Mattoon Road, White Point, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 7004-7253. Assessed owner, Judith Ann Fleming, deceased. Property in care of Ramona Fleming and tenants. The offending property has been on the Region of Queens Dangerous and Unsightly Premises roster for approximately 3 to 3.5 years. This property bears an accumulation of unsorted solid waste, stockpiles of construction and demolition material, electronic waste, 2 derelict vehicles, furniture, and various other appliances and vehicle parts. The rear deck doorstep poses a threat due to structural integrity along with the existing outbuilding. This property no longer meets with what is considered to be neighborhood standards. The dwelling is a single wooden frame structure which was constructed as a single family home. The dwelling is constructed on a concrete basement foundation. The dwelling is presently occupied by many family members, one of which is in a wheelchair, thus the erection of a wheelchair ramp. Over time, the ramp has been subjected to weather and without proper maintenance has fallen into disrepair. There are spindles missing on the ramp, guards, and it's slowly decaying, and although the decking has been repaired, the height of the deck surface is questionable. The deck must be placed on sonotubes as per the Nova Scotia Building Code standards, and a building permit will also be required. There is an older style wooden deck at the rear of the house as well. This deck must be removed as it is unsafe and it will surely collapse. The deck height is a minimum of 8 to 10 feet.
The Oak Building is in very poor condition. The construction material and method of construction is of poor quality, and the weather has played havoc on the structural integrity for several years. The building has been used to store garbage, mainly, and from witnessing the stockpiles that have not been put out to curbside on many occasions, the Oak Building requires demolition. Many, many conversations with Ramona Fleming and other family members, including Mr. Alan Moore yesterday. Some compliance has been received, but not all. We have myself, Scott LeBlanc, our solid waste clerk, Mr. Bill Layton, our fire and building inspector, have worked with this family on numerous occasions over the past 3.5 years. And although we've received minimal compliance, full compliance has not been received. It is imperative to note today that I have personally contacted the Region of Queens solicitor, Mr. Peter Rogers, due to concerns of removing the deck, and I was advised of optional relief to secure the entry. Number one, demolish the rear deck, secure the door opening leading to the deck, or number two, to demolish and rebuild the deck. These options submitted, of course, for non-compliance only. Those are my recommendations to you today. I do have to advise, I did visit the property yesterday, which I do always before council, and there has been some compliance again. Two derelict vehicles have been removed. The tires went with the vehicles when they were removed. Two full loads of garbage, approximately 40 bags on garbage day, were put out to curbside, source separated, and I will tell you our curbside inspector assisted with that. It's been an ongoing educational program with this family, and two loads of electronics have been removed. Two full loads of electronics removed. Thus, I would like to keep the recommendations as is to ensure that we do a full cleanup as soon as possible.
Discussion. Thank you. Deputy Mayor Nolan.
Since our solicitor said that the rear deck could be demolished, but it doesn't have to be replaced if the door leading there is secured, then in our motion, should it not state that? Because we are only, the motion states demolish and replace.
That was an option that was given to us by the solicitor after many conversations with my supervisor, Mr. Mike McLeod, and Bill Layton. We are safe to say that we would like to replace what is existing now due to the safety issue, because there is a door leading to the deck.
Yes, but if I could, but the solicitor says you can take the deck off, but you don't have to replace it if you secure that door, you know, and if that's an option coming from a solicitor, if the door is completely secured so nobody can go out it, many people will take a deck off a house and they don't have the funds to rebuild it, so they plank it across or shut. And I guess then my other question is, replacing a wheelchair ramp, have we spoken to the family? I would think that Access Nova Scotia and, you know, that there would be funds through either health or community housing or some type of provincial program where a homeowner has funds available to repair, to something like a wheelchair ramp, because that's another huge expense.
And again, I have. And really, it's not my responsibility. But I did refer the family to a grant process. Due to deed issues on that particular property, they are not eligible for a grant. The Housing Authority built the existing ramp that's in place now, and I will let you speak to Bill Layton about that, because I believe it was not built to code.
There was no permit issued for that ramp.
Yes, Councilor Inglis.
Kellyanne, is the individual who requires the ramp a tenant there now?
Is he what?
The person who requires the ramp is...
Oh, yes, he's still residing in the unit, along with several other tenants.
Other comments, discussion? Councillor McLeod, Councillor Fisk.
For safety reasons, you indicated that the door should not be secured. Do you have to have two exits to a home?
The building code requires only one exit, but because of the situation, it would be highly recommended that there be an area of refuge, okay? That if the person could not get up the door and down the ramp, at least the person could get to the ramp, and then the fire department could assist with the, you know, the exiting of that person from
also
that.
Also due to the height.
And the height is extremely high. It's not a matter of just going and maybe taking two steps down. It's extremely high.
Councilor Fisk.
My question is answered. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Councilor Frelick.
Clearly this is an issue of both finance and some other issues, i.e. hoarding, by the sounds of it. Would this not be something for the senior safety coordinator to get involved in, to get them some additional help that goes beyond what we're able to offer? Not offer, because what you're doing is your job, but it seems like there's a lot happening in that area that they could use some additional support.
And this is becoming quite an issue on a very regular basis. I have put this off for a substantial amount of time in hopes to receiving compliance because of the cost, and with Kim Moslin, yes, actually Kim and I were in conversation yesterday regarding another resident, and I will have a conversation with her about this family, but we have done everything we can possibly do. We have gone above and beyond to the point where we've helped source separate garbage. We have assisted in having contractors attend there on certain paydays so that they could pay to have cleanups done. We just keep ending back into the same situation. And unfortunately, it's just me. I don't have the time to keep going back from, you know, to the same residences day in and day out, because I get ongoing complaints about this property. And I would say probably 4 to 5 complaints a week. It's ongoing.
I think that's my point, is that you're probably never going to get compliance.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the senior safety coordinator, and they have a team of people that they work with that's able to deal with the emotional and the other issues that are going on there.
Yeah, I know there's many outside service agencies working with this family. If the senior safety coordinator is or is not, I do not, and I cannot confirm that. But I know that there are many outside service agencies. There's an infant child, 4 or 5 days old, now living in the unit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Kim is involved in that particular unit. I can certainly make that call, but again, maybe it's social services that I need to contact. I can certainly look into it, but I have to ensure that, you know, I try to provide a service to our residents, but I can't overstep my authority either. And, pardon me?
The question is being called for. All in favor of the motion, please raise your hands. Contrary minded, is carried by a vote of 6-2. Thank you. That takes us to 7.2.
I salute that the evening's speech. You can reach it if we have to control the property located at 413 West California Road. And that the region of Queens Council calls in order to serve by the owner of property located at 413 West Elmond Road, West Elmond, Queens Council, Nova Scotia, requiring that within 14 days of the date of the service of the order, the bond work carried out. 1. Within 14 days of the date of service of the order, the following work carried out. A. Demolition and replacement. Rear deck and door staff to the special social building code standards through all of the permits.
Are you concerned those two pages at once?
This is wrong.
Do you have it?
Okay.
I'll give you mine. You got it?
Yeah.
Page two.
One, demolition of dwellings. Two, demolition of outbuildings. Three, cleanup of all debris and property disposed of that are to them landfill. Four, leveling of locker structures once were. Five, cleanup of all debris surrounding dwelling and outbuildings. And six, replacement of well cover. And that if the owner fails to comply with the order, the administrator may cause compliance of water carrying out and all expenses incurred by the region of which it is failed to become the responsibility of the owner.
Thank you. Seconded by Councilor Fisk. Discussion.
413 West Caledonia Road, West Caledonia, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 701-51592. Assessed owner Rosanna May Conway, deceased. The property located at 413 West Caledonia Road, Queens County, Nova Scotia, has deteriorated substantially due to vacancy and a lack of maintenance. This property does not meet with neighborhood standards accordingly. Several external inspections by both the municipal fire and building inspector, Mr. Bill Layton, and myself, and the most recent inspection on January 5th revealed the following information for your consideration. The dwelling is a single-family, two-story wooden-framed structure. The building has been vacant for several years and has shown, and as shown by the circulated photographs, no maintenance has been conducted for some time. The structure has suffered extensive structural damage to the roof and interior partitions. There is evidence that a portion of the ceiling on the second floor has been removed and the laths are piled outside of the building. The electrical meter has already been removed and the propane tank gauge shows 85% propane, which is still fully connected to the house. No longer. It was removed on Friday of last week. The roof structure has many holes and a portion of the front part of the roof has a tarp placed over it. Many of the windows are open at the rear of the structure. A first floor door is wide open. The main side entrance door has had a padlock recently cut to gain entry, and a second floor window shows insulation falling from the attic. Looking from the rear of the dwelling towards the road, the roof and left side of the structure appears to be twisted, posing a serious structural issue, and it is to our opinion that this structure be demolished as the elements have already been compromised. It is my recommendation that the owners of the offending property be given 14 days to rectify this hazard. If so, the tender process will begin. Yes, Bruce. Oh, sorry.
Okay, discussion. Councilor Inglis.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. Through to the special constable. Having looked at the pictures, the recommendations are all clearly sound. That property is clearly presenting a danger and is a little offensive to the eye. It's a fast order, so I'm just wondering if you want to give us an update if there has been time in the past for compliance and
there is I sure can. There's a vested interest in the property. There is a surviving, one sole surviving member of the family, which is a son. His name is Thomas, aka Tommy Conway. Tommy has revealed that he has absolutely no plans for this property whatsoever, none, and is unable financially at this point in time to do anything to rectify the situation. So I'd like to resolve the problem as soon as possible. It's been like this for many years. I don't think an extra 14 or 15 days is going to make a difference.
So the reality is, based on what he's indicated to you, that this is likely to be covered by the taxpayer and will become a lien on the property?
At this point in time, yes.
Thank you.
Councilor Waterman.
And this property has quite a bit of acreage, so it's a matter of this gentleman just disposing of it, selling it.
It's a beautiful piece of property.
Probably a couple hundred acres. It's not. Like eventually, I guess. I think we won't get it.
Further discussion?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? All in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimous. Thank you. And that brings us to 7-3, which is the property in Westview.
I move that council declare the property located at 6/10-20 Westview.
Seconded by Council Fancy. Discussion.
Number 18, 10-20 Road, Westfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 701-37492. Assessed owners, Robert and Darlene Wright. The property in question bears a vacant and collapsed dwelling that may pose a threat to public safety. This property no longer meets with neighborhood standards accordingly. Upon conducting an external inspection assisted by the Region of Queens Municipal Fire and Building Inspector, Mr. Bill Layton, our findings are as follows. The dwelling is a single-story wooden-framed structure constructed as a single-family home that once had a mobile unit attached to it on one end. This has a full concrete basement constructed under the main portion of the home. The home has not been occupied for several years and has been unprotected from the elements. The power has been disconnected and the owners have moved away. As depicted in the photograph circulated to you today, the structure is in extreme disrepair and probably could not be repaired to a state of where occupancy would be permitted. There are a few major issues with the structure that need to be noted. The foundation walls of one side is completely cracked and would not support any weight of the wall. The floor joists of the main floor have been completely separated from the main wooden beam supporting it, which was once supported by the foundation wall. Exterior wooden shingles shown sign of rot and some are missing. Sections of the roof have boards and various parts of the structure missing. The entire portion of the mobile home attachment has broken away and is moving further from the main house. The structure holding up the mobile home has shown signs of failure. Exterior flashing and trim is missing and is blowing off with excessive wind. The rear portion of the mobile home has a rear wall that has not been completed as siding is missing. The exterior entry to the mobile home portion is not safe and already has suffered serious collapse. Fire and Building Inspector for the region could not locate any permits issued for this property. This property is new to my roster for dangerous and unsightly premises, and I personally fell upon this while investigating another property. Due to a possible threat to public safety, safety investigations commenced on January 5th only. I immediately forwarded a letter to the property owners on January 6th, and to date have had absolutely no response from them. There is no representation for this property today. My request is that of a full demolition of the dwelling as per the recommendation.
Discussion. Any comments, Council Waterman?
I believe these people live at West.
They do.
Yeah. Okay, so you couldn't get a hold of them.
Okay, so that's right. It's been vacant for a long time. I spoke to several family members. I have left a business card, phone numbers, email addresses in which I can get, or they could get in contact with me. I've received no compliance whatsoever.
Other comment?
Thank Kelly for doing a good job.
And I apologize for these files, but when we have a situation where these dwellings or properties can pose a threat to public safety, and it's unfortunate because we have deed issues, and we have issues with various families who, you know, economically they just can't afford to do what needs to be done. And for their safety, we have to do what we have to do.
I just had a thought come to mind on these, and why it comes to my mind is sometimes we have a few of them on the roster, is that I forget what they look like. I wonder if we could save the paper and perhaps have photographs that can we can pull up on that screen so that we, as we do each property, we see which one it is, and then the public could see it.
Good idea.
It was a recommendation a very long time ago. But I, unfortunately, I think, believe due to the Privacy Act, we were told, Mike? Yeah, it was brought up sometime ago.
I think we should look at that. It doesn't make sense that we pass photographs around of the exterior of the building amongst ourselves and then say we can't put them up on the screen because of the Privacy Act. I think that we want to go get as paperless as we can, so I would urge that we follow up that recommendation and only not implement it if there really is a concern under the Privacy Act.
And I'm in full agreement of that, so that would be wonderful. It would make my life easier.
Sure, that's all we're trying to do. Okay, yeah. I've got a motion on the floor. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you.
Thank you.